You need quality sounds? Tune into CKUT 90.3 on the frequency modulation band radio. www.ckut.ca on the internet. Streaming audio, archive shows, and information.
CKUT.
Through Tree Canada's National Greening Program, native tree seedlings are planted across Canada, creating a widespread impact. Planted trees provide habitat, prevent soil erosion, and reforest areas that have suffered tree loss due to pests and weather. Tree Canada performs 1, 2, and 5-year assessments to monitor tree survival and ensure the trees planted are on track to meet the forest cover goals of the site. To learn more or to get involved, go to treecanada.ca.
The following is a previously broadcast program.
In the next hour, we will cover topics and news related to visual digital arts in all its forms. Welcome to Digital Sites. We air every first Thursday of every month here on CKUT 90.3 FM in Montreal. Stay tuned. Welcome, everyone. You are listening to Digital Sites. My name is Sausan Kadura. I will be your host for the next hour. Digital Sites airs every first Thursday of every month on CQUT 90.3 FM in Montreal. We cover topics and news related to visual digital arts. For today's show, we're going to dedicate the entire show for NFTs. Now that the dust has settled a little bit and it seems that the bubble has burst, at least according to some, it would be interesting to look back and really have an overview of NFTs to understand them and understand all the discussions they generated. We're gonna go over what are NFTs, what is this controversial technology behind it called blockchain, how does it work and why it's controversial. But also we're going to go over all the possible positive aspects of NFTs, but also a list of concerns that people brought in. And we're going to specifically focus on concerns that has to do with digital artists in particular when they use NFTs. So stay tuned. ArtNet recently reported that the NFT artwork prices have plummeted nearly 70% in the last 4 weeks. So was the whole thing an over-exaggerated hype? Was it a well-orchestrated scam, as some are describing it? Or are there any merits to NFTs? So let's start by clarifying first what are NFTs and what is the technology behind them, especially the blockchain technology that you probably heard about. NFT stands for non-fungible tokens. So fungible means interchangeable. It means it can be substituted. It means by its nature, one part can be replaced by another equal part. So for example, money. So I can give you $10 and you can give me back two $5 bills and that's the same thing. It's interchangeable. A painting is not fungible, so there's no substitution to the Mona Lisa. You can take a painting and divide it into smaller parts and interchange it. NFTs are non-fungible tokens. They're basically like a certificate. They can be added to a digital element. Now, although the latest hype was caused by an NFT linked to a digital artwork, but NFTs don't have to be linked to digital art. So any digital element can have an NFT, which is really what is happening right now. There's a lot of people are selling their memes, they're selling their viral videos, even their tweets. So for example, BBC recently reported that Zoe Roth sold the quote disaster girl meme as an NFT for $500,000. So if you're not familiar with the disaster girl meme, you can look it up, but it's this photo, it's a funny photo of a little girl who's looking at the camera and behind her there's this house on fire. And the girl has this very cute, mischievous look. And at that time it was her dad who took the picture. And as soon as it hit the internet, because it's funny, it was shared widely and eventually it became a meme. So the girl in the photo, who is now 21 years old, sold the right for this picture through an NFT. Another very viral internet moment that probably most of you know about was recently sold as an NFT as well. You probably heard about the video Charlie Bit My Finger. This is a YouTube video that went viral. It was these two kids, just a funny moment between two kids when one baby sort of bit the finger of his older brother. According to IFL Science, the NFT of this video was sold recently for $760,000. Another piece of internet history as well was sold recently as an NFT, the first ever tweet. It was tweeted by the CEO of Twitter. Recently, CNN reported it was sold for $3 million. Now, there's a misconception that NFTs are the same. So if you sell an NFT, you sell all the rights to your artwork. But NFTs are actually just digital contracts. So you can set the condition and what you are offering when you're selling the NFT for work, for your artwork or any digital elements out there. So for example, Zoe, the first example we mentioned, did not sell the copyright on the photo. And also she specified she would get 10% of the profits of any future sale of the NFT. However, on the other hand, the video of Charlie Bit My Finger, the NFT for that video, the owner of this video offered with the NFT to take the video off YouTube and they will give all the rights to the new buyer. Also, the new buyer got to win an opportunity to create their own parody of the video featuring the original kids. Kids now are much older. Now, the second question, I guess, when we talk about certification, this type of certification, the question is, where are the records of this stored? In another form of certification, usually you have a centralized place where all these authentication happened and are stored or recorded. So for example, if you get a certificate or a proof that you got the COVID-19 vaccine, for example, this certificate is released by a centered authority. In this case, it would be Health Quebec, for example. So how do we record NFTs? Where are they recorded? This is where the blockchain technology comes to. And this is where a lot of the main controversy about NFT is being raised, the environmental impact. And that is linked to the blockchain technology. Before I get into that, I'm going to have a song break and we'll get back and we'll get into the blockchain technology, which is important for artists in particular to understand so they can have a more educated decision when they decide to get into this NFT business. Ding dong 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 ding d blockchain technology. So what is it about? To understand really how they're using NFTs, it might be worth it to briefly explain how it worked and how it started. Blockchain technology is sort of a byproduct from Bitcoins. So when Bitcoins were created, this virtual currency was created, a problem needed to be solved: how you keep track of the transaction. So with other currency, usually you have a central place, which is the bank, and they keep track of all this transaction of money. So if I want to transfer $2,000 from my account to another account, the bank keep track of that record. I cannot send the same $2,000 again because the bank tracked that I transferred this money to another account. So when it comes to Bitcoins, how these transactions can be tracked. And this is where the idea of blockchain technology came from. So the idea was to create a decentralized system. Instead of having one place, like a bank, the records will actually be kept on hundreds of computers simultaneously. So this type of decentralized record keeping is harder to corrupt or to hack because it's far more complex. You cannot change the record on one computer or one centralized place, because you have all these other computers who also have copy of this record. So these records of all these transactions of Bitcoins are called blocks. More accurately, a block would be the equivalent of a page in the record. And each block, so each record page, will have information and link to the block before it. And this is how they all link to each other. And this is why it's called blockchain. You have a chain of all these blocks, which basically are just, in this case, a list of transactions that are being recorded. So how to incentivize people to be part of that network, to have their computers join the network and update these records or these blocks? People have to do something called proof of work. And that's important because this element is the main reason behind the heavy environmental cost of this technology. Proof of work, it's something you have to do, or more accurately, your computer have to do. For a computer to join the network, they have to solve an equation. And when they solve this equation, they automatically get to update the next information on the block. This is how they enter the network. They become part of this network. Now, to incentivize people to do it, every time the computer solves an equation, they will get a reward. In this case, it's a Bitcoin. So when you heard people talking about mining Bitcoins, that's what they were talking about. They let these computers run. When they solve an equation, they get Bitcoins. And that reward was the incentive for people to join that network. So the main purpose of the blockchain technology was to create this automatically updated, decentralized ledger for this new cryptocurrency. Now, at the beginning, a simple laptop could have solved the equation. But because the equation is designed to become harder and harder and harder, more people join. And it was designed this way to get more and more complicated to actually keep the quantity of Bitcoin in check. You don't want sort of inflation because you have an overproduction of currencies. So if more and more people joined, if it was kept easy, you will have a huge number of Bitcoins created. So more and more people tried to mine, more the equation became harder, which means more and more people need powerful computers to keep running all the time and to solve this automatic equation. And this is a problem because the amount of electricity you spend becomes higher and higher and higher, and it will continue to increase the bigger the records become. And this has a huge environmental impact. According to Eye on Design, since the start of Bitcoin over 10 years ago, Bitcoin is responsible for more electricity consumption than Argentina, which is a nation of nearly 45 million people. So that's the background on blockchain, just so you understand why this technology is problematic the way it is right now and why it has such an environmental cost. Now, to go back to NFTs, how is that linked to NFTs? NFTs are using the same technology and the same logic to keep records of all the NFTs that are being created and sold and bought. A lot of computers, again, are working very hard to keep the record and to constantly update them. Some saw NFTs as a major game changer, allowing digital artists to make money from their work and bypass the art institution and its elites and all its problematic structures and dynamics. Others are seeing the whole hype as a scam to get rich men even more rich. But before that, let's take a break. We'll come back and talk about the industry that is behind this sort of latest race for NFTs. So before the break, we understood what are NFTs and the technology behind them, blockchain technology. Another thing I think it's important to really understand when it comes to NFTs is the industry that profits from it. So one thing it's important to note that NFTs are bought and sold used cryptocurrency, not usual money. It doesn't have to be that way, but the way it's structured right now, NFTs are being exchanged using cryptocurrency. So why is that? Right now, NFTs are created and sold on online markets. There are several of them, but these markets are basically sort of apps that were created with the Ethereum software. The Ethereum software is an open source software that basically allows people to create apps using the blockchain technology. So these apps could be to track records, to track contracts, to track things like NFTs for transactions, and all of these information that go through your app will be recorded and backed by the blockchain technology. So this technology, the blockchain technology, is expanding beyond, you know, just Bitcoin, and it doesn't only concern NFTs, it is at the heart of the whole new DeFi, which is decentralized finance. People who are from this industry are trying to push this new form of finance where the transaction will be made and recorded without going through a central financial intermediary such as a brokerage, exchanges, or banks. So this is a major industry that is trying to push more and more this service and more this technology for various things. Now, to go back to NFTs, like I said, NFTs right now are created and sold and bought on these markets. And these markets are created through the Ethereum software. And everything that is created through the Ethereum software, they use usually the cryptocurrency of Ethereum itself, which is Ether. And this is the second most important cryptocurrency after Bitcoin. So now that context is clarified, you understand that NFTs are linked to this wider industry of cryptocurrency. And you understand why the cryptocurrency industry and this blockchain technology industry that is linked to that has a lot of money invested in the sudden surge of NFTs, not only to earn money, but also to legitimize that technology and to make it mainstream. This is a big industry that is developing, it's pushing itself more and more toward the mainstream, and there's a lot of money to be made. Now, this is not a financial show, as you know. You guys can go discuss if it's good or bad, But it's important to understand this background because this is where the NFTs are born and this is where the NFTs are linked to. And if artists and digital artists want to use them, they need to understand within what industry they're working and also if there's any negative association with that. So let's get back to NFTs. So during the hype, there were positive headlines and there was more critical headlines. I saw headlines like how crypto art might offer artists increased autonomy. That's from Hyperallergic. But other articles were more critical. Eye on Design has an article called "Sorry, but NFTs are not designs democratizing savior." Now that we understand all the important elements related to NFTs, we can really start to understand all the main points and arguments are made around them, whether it's positive or negative. So let's take another break and then we'll come back to go over first the positive of NFTs. During today's show, we are talking about NFTs. During the first part of the show, I really wanted to take the time to explain all the main elements behind this new technology. So we talked about what are NFTs, how does the technology behind it work, blockchain, which is important to understand, and also within what industry the NFTs fall into, what is the industry that NFTs depend on to function. During the second part, I think it's important to start really delving into the discussions around NFTs. So I will start with the positive sides and the positive arguments that were given to kind of defend NFTs or to at least be curious to explore it and see if it can solve some of the problem or allow certain sort of opportunities. So one of the first points I can mention that was mentioned by an article written on It's Nice That. So they talk about the possibility for people to make money from their art, from the digital art. So they explain, quote, since digital files were designed to be copied and shared and distributed, it was difficult to find a way to buy and sell digital art because there wasn't a way to own an exclusive piece. And so the idea that the NFT will be able to create one copy of the digital work that is different and special because it has this NFT link to it, which is until now, only physical artists were able to do that because you can sell the original. Digital arts doesn't have an original. All the copies are exactly the same, but this NFT will allow you to create that is the equivalent of an original piece that you can sell. Second point was made in an article in Hyperlink. They talk about how usually art institutions, museums, and historians have served as gatekeepers that influence what art is deemed, quote, valuable. Now, instead of private institutions determining the value of the artwork, an audience of hundreds of millions of consumers on the internet can determine what is valuable. Now, it's no longer a specific elite that decide what is valuable and what is expensive and what should be auctioned or showed in galleries and so on. That's the second point. The third point is linked to the previous one. Bypassing gatekeepers means also opening space for underrepresented groups and communities to really access markets of arts and selling of arts. Over the past 10 years, only 1% of the global art auction market was spent on work from Black artists, just 1%. So now that the artists can just auction their artwork on these online markets, they can bypass these extremely privileged and extremely exclusive gatekeepers. So that's the third very important point. Another point also brought by a hyperlink article talks about how NFTs allow digital artists and creators to embed conditions of their work and practice into its expression. NFTs will allow you to add a specific condition to your work. So it allows artists to have a little bit more control about how their art should be used when sold. Two final positive points that are made. The first one is that everyone now can be a collector because you can access this online market and you can collect these special pieces with special NFTs. And it's no longer only just traditional art collectors that can do it. And finally, the final positive point that I could find has to do with the art industry itself. It says that NFTs are allowed to open a whole new market, these new NFTs online markets for art. The fact that NFTs promise to open up new markets is very exciting to the big art industry players. So that's it. That's a long list of positive points that people are making that could be explored at least or taken advantage of thanks to this new technology of the NFTs. Now that we talked about the positive, I think the important thing is to really talk about the negative because there are numerous and a lot of them are very serious. And some of them sort of counter-argument some of the positive things I mentioned. But before that, another break, and then we'll come back and look at all the criticism that was targeted toward NFTs and the use of NFTs. Welcome back. Today we are spending the show focusing on NFTs. During this show, we give background of all the main elements of NFTs, and I went through all the positive things that people are kind of excited about when it comes to NFTs. Now the negative parts. So the first one will reveal itself when I start talking about how this new hype started. So now today on the show, I'm talking about NFTs because of a hype that was created in March that triggered a race for NFTs, and there was this crazy race where all type of NFTs were being sold for a lot of money. And all that started with one story. And I think when we understand the background behind the story itself will reveal one of the main sort of problematic aspects of the industry behind the NFTs. So if you remember, the whole thing started with an artist, a visual digital artist called Beeple. Beeple is a digital visual artist that is on Instagram. He has 2 million followers, and he recently sold on March 11 an NFT for a series of artwork that he did for $69 million. He sold it during an auction organized by the British auction house Christie's. So the auction went from February 25th to March 11, and it ended with someone buying it for $69 million. Now, this sale created a major hype on one, Beeple Arts, and second, NFTs. Some journalists are saying follow the money on this one to see really who's benefiting from creating this hype that many now are arguing was never meant to be a game changer for digital artists, but a great scam that benefited the cryptocurrency industry. So let's backtrack a little bit to December 2020. A buyer called Metakovan, his online name is Metakovan, bought an art from Beeple for $2.2 million. After he bought this art, he decided to create digital token for this art and make them public. These digital tokens are kind of like shares in a company. So he made 10 million digital tokens and he made 25% of them available to the public. So that's equivalent of 2.5 million tokens. So let's say 2.5 million shares. 50% of them will be kept to himself. So Metakovan will remain the main owner of this art piece by Beeple. And then 2% of it will still be owned by Beeple. And then the remaining 23% are kept for friends and prospective partners. All these digital tokens, so again, like shares, were made available on January 2020. Basically, it's the idea that this digital art piece will be owned by many people. Now, Metakovan will be the main owner still because he has 50% of these tokens, but other people from the public can buy tokens and be part owner of this piece, which Beeple also is part owner because he still owns 2% of it. Okay? These digital tokens were made available on January 2021. So this buy in December, then the creation of these 10 million tokens and making some of them available for the public to buy started to create a hype for Beeple's art and for the NFTs. On February 25th, the auction of another Beeple work, Every Days, which is an art series, started by the Christie's auction house. That was on February 25th. And it lasted until March 11th. So on February 25th, the auction started. On February 28th, Beeple himself, to create more hype around his work and NFTs and the auction itself, suddenly released NFTs available for his art for just $1. This created a frenzy and many people wanted to buy these $1 NFTs of Beeple art, and there were so many people that the marketplace where the NFTs were being sold crashed. So because of this, the hype became even more intense for Beeple's art and for NFTs in general. And eventually the auction that started on February 25th ended on March 11th, where the NFT of Beeple for his art called Every Days, it's a series of images, was sold for $69 million, making it the third highest price ever paid for an artwork by a living artist. The person who bought the art of Beeple, the NFT for the art of Beeple for $69 million was the same buyer that bought the other art piece that was sold in December for $2.2 million. Now you can imagine all this hype that was created around Beeple, Beeple's art and the NFTs after the end of the auction made the value of the digital tokens that Metakovan created for the other art that he bought in December for $2.2 million, the value of these tokens increased immensely. According to Washington Post, these digital tokens became 41 times more valuable in March after the Beeple art was sold than it was in January when these digital shares were made available. The value of Metakovan's stake himself, so about 5 million tokens, we said Metakovan said he will keep 50% of the shares on this art piece, the value of his part grew by about $51 million from February 25th to March 11. Beeple's personal stake grew by about $2 million. You can see now why a lot of people are seeing this hype as manufactured. It's more like a money grab attempt than art appreciation. One person who bought some of the digital tokens from the December art piece that was sold, he explains B20, which is these digital tokens, they're called B20, sounded fascinating because of the upcoming Christie's auction, and it sounded like a short-term speculation worth a try. So I made my decision as a speculation mainly out of financial interest. An artist explains to It's Nice That, explains that the explosion of NFTs via the headline-grabbing multi-million dollar deal should be more attributed to a canny understanding of the hype cycle rather than the artistic liberation that NFTs promised. The artists continue to explain that the people who are cheerleading the rise of NFTs have vested interest in seeing it grow and continue. They explain that you should always follow the money when it comes to these big value sales. So why this artist is saying that? Because also Meta Kovan, who bought the NFT for $69 million, he also made money out of now the more value shared of a previous art he bought, is actually the founder of the world's largest NFT purse named Metapurse, and he's an active player in the cryptocurrency market. He's part of this industry. This crazy race for NFTs benefit him and his industry directly. So the whole thing was a game of optics and narrative, and it was a bunch of people playing, essentially playing with the markets, just so they can make more money and also push an industry they personally have a stake in. So this is the story and the events that surrounded this highly publicized sale of this NFT, of this visual artwork. And the story itself reveals a lot of question marks around the industry that is around NFTs and who is really trying to benefit from it directly or indirectly. So let's take another break and come back to cover more of the sort of critical side of NFTs and the NFT business. So welcome back. We're going to continue our discussions around NFTs, and I'm going to continue with the list of negatives. So I already covered one of the main negative points or critical points that people had, especially surrounding the big sale that really started this sudden hype and this sudden race for NFTs. Another major negative that I already touched on is the environmental one. So I already kind of explained a little bit the gist of the technology behind NFTs. I already kind of explained why it has such an environmental impact and it has a high environmental cost. An article on It's Nice That explains that the environmental cost of a single NFT transaction, that means creating the NFT, bidding, because all these NFTs, most of them are sold through auctions, so people bid on them, and then the sale. So the cost of that single transaction could be the equivalent of weeks, even months of an EU residence power consumption. That's just one NFT transaction. One artist who created over dozens of NFTs was calculated to have created a footprint of over 160 tons of CO2 through these transactions. So as we explain, all that is linked to how the blockchain technology works and how it's linked to something that is called proof of work, which makes them consume a lot of electricity constantly. Now, it's important to note that alternatives are being offered and people are saying there's gonna be alternative for proof of work. One of the main alternatives people talk about is what we call proof of stake. So the alternative proof of stake is basically instead of making computers work hard to quote proof that they worked, instead you will have to pay, you will have to put coins instead. That's the proof of stake. But this is also problematic. First, artist Everest Pipkin explained that no one believed that switch will happen. They explained that Ethereum has been promising to make that switch for years, that now it's almost a joke. They described the whole thing as a bait and switch tactic. They bait you with that. They promise you that this alternative is coming soon, so join now. And they never eventually implement the alternative. Everest Pipkin also raised another very important issue with these alternatives. All the alternative, even the proof of work, they reward people who already are wealthy. That applies to the proof of work, because the proof of work demands very high performing computers, and not everyone can afford that. We're far away from the early days of Bitcoins, where someone can mine on their laptop. The proof of stake is the same thing. It's basically people put in money, put in coins to be able to earn rewards. All of them are structured in a way that rewards people who already have wealth. And the artist explained that this is also a climate issue. Climate justice is social justice. And I'm quoting, "This is true in that the worst impacts of climate collapse are felt by those with no means to avoid them, while those with resources easily can F off to somewhere where they don't have to see it," unquote. So that's the second point about the environment and also the alternative being discussed right now and how they are problematic as well. Now that we covered the two main points of concerns around the NFT that were covered the most in media, I'm going to take a break and we'll come back and talk about several other concerns that were raised about NFTs, but more specifically, concerns that has to do directly with digital arts. Welcome back. We're continuing our discussion about the various concerns about NFTs. And now we're going to focus on a list of concerns that have to do with digital artists in particular and their usage of NFTs to sell their work. So the first point is that NFTs cannot prevent people from stealing your work. And there's nothing in the technology that guarantees the respect of existing copyrights. And so there has been many cases where people have seen NFTs of their work being sold without their consent. People are grabbing art pieces from the internet and selling NFTs. So that's the first problem. Another point, that there's nothing legally binding about NFTs. They have never entered a court. So many people are seeing these NFTs are fake ownership. No one knows really how they will stand in courts. A third point that is being made, that is again related to digital art in particular, that NFTs are creating an artificial original for digital work. Because digital work by its nature is duplicated. By its nature, it doesn't have an original. It gets copied and all of them are identical. So NFTs are creating an artificial original that is really not real. There's no original. They're all exactly the same. And with that, they're creating something called a fake scarcity. And people, unfortunately, are buying into it and spending money over supposedly an original that doesn't exist, because it's not how the digital works. The fake original that is being created is linked to another bigger discussion about scarcity. That's a very interesting point that was made also by the same artist. What makes digital art unique is that there is no original file. This is the main difference with physical art. That if you have a game and someone else have a copy of this game and someone else has a copy of the game, everyone has a very equal experience with all of it because they're all equal. This is contrary to physical art, that you have only one original. And unless you have the privilege to really experience that art, you really cannot have a real true experience of a painting. Unless you go see it in a gallery, you don't have that experience. You will have an experience from secondhand documentation. Everest Pepkin explained that, "I'm horrified to see this willingly traded for an opportunity to reproduce the worst parts of the existing physical art market, where, quote, the original is useful for most as a rare thing, a unique thing, that in its scarcity is an asset," unquote. So the next concern that people have, Ion Design, in an article called "Sorry, but NFTs are not designs democratizing savor." In this article, they really kind of break the myth of one of the first positive arguments that I mentioned previously when I went over the list of positive things about NFTs. This idea that NFTs will allow artists to bypass the gatekeepers and access the audience directly and make money like this, and allow the millions of people to sort of decide what is valuable. What the article is explaining is that artists who are selling successfully NFTs are people who are already successful. And because they're already successful and famous, their NFTs are valuable, not the other way around. So it's not like people are deciding the value of these NFTs. It's because these artists are already successful that the NFTs are thought after and considered collectibles. And these artists became famous and successful already through the traditional way of success. So many of them have art exhibitions and large online followings. It is that fame that makes the NFTs worth it. Another problem with NFTs is that the artists who have to make an NFT and people who buy the NFT, I believe, they have to pay a fee. So it's not like you put your NFT and you decide a price on it. There is also a fee that you have to pay, and this is decided by the market, the online market. And unfortunately, that fee actually fluctuates a lot. It can go from $40 to $1,000, depending on the fluctuation of the market, that online market. And so this fee doesn't make NFTs really accessible for people, for the majority of people to create them, but also to buy them. So that's it for this NFT expose. I hope that was informative. I hope it really helped you sort of understand the entire discussion around NFTs and really what are NFTs, what is the technology behind it, and all the positive, but also all the concerns about this as well. I'm going to end with a couple of conclusions from the article from Ion Design. First, they explain that the NFT is a technology that delivers exponential gains to those already at the top by convincing everyone to collectively imagine that free, widely distributed artwork is actually a scarce commodity, all while destroying the actual scarce resources of our planet, unquote. I thought that was such a good way to summarize all the concerns, at least, about NFTs. In this recent hype for NFTs, it reached really ridiculous levels. There was an artist that apparently sold a single gray pixel, just a square that is gray. I think the artist called it pixel. The artist sold that for $1.78 million. So now you can see why a lot of people are seeing this as an opportunity to scam people. The article finished by saying, I'm quoting, "As the broader picture of this NFT moment comes into focus, it's increasingly clear that this was little more than a scam, funded by speculations and fees, ballooned by the spectacle of big-ticket auctions, and perpetuated by credulous media coverage. The real winners of NFTs are the crypto miners and investors who are taking home the vast majority of the profit. They were never on our side, and the next set of techno-capitalists promising overnight industry revolution won't be either," unquote. And that's it for us for today. You are listening to Digital Sites. My name is Sausan Kadura. I was your host for the hour. Make sure to join me again. Digital Sites airs every first Thursday of every month here on CKUT 90.3 FM in Montreal. Every month we cover news and topics related to visual digital arts. Before I go, I just want to mention that the majority of the music that I played during today's show was from the album Black Origami by Jaylin. And there was a couple of music pieces as well by Fatima Al-Qadiri from the album Shanira. Also, I want to mention that I will be putting the link for today's show on our Facebook page. Just look for Digital Sites. And with the link of the show, I will be putting the link of all the articles that I referenced and also links to the music that I played during today's show.
Good. Great. Not bad at all. A-okay. Tickety-boo. Fine, thanks. All good. It's going gangbusters. Just great. When people ask us how we're doing, we often say fine, even if it's not always the case. If you aren't fine, say something. To get help, call InfoSocial 811, because talking is the first step towards getting better. A message from the Gouvernement du Québec.
Holy Manuel, I think it's the last. Sure.